that we can make the parade work. Amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, God's good. Amen. Just before we get started here, I got to go to some of my old favorite stuff here. Let's see here. First, let me get rid of this. And come on, turn off. See, so I got this already. Got it rigged up now so I can do this anytime, anyway, anytime at the drop of a hat. Isn't that cool? God's awesome. All right. First, let me tell you my favorite Christmas joke of all times. I got to tell this joke or it won't be Christmas. Matter of fact, somebody will think that I have forgot all about Christmas if I don't share this joke. And I hear Frank laughing already. Three small boys were at a Christmas play at school. They represented the three wise men. They were to give their gifts to baby Jesus. The first boy stepped forward and held out the gift in his hands and said, gold. The second boy stepped forward and held out his hand and said, myrrh. The third boy stepped forward and held out his gift and said, Frank sent this. My favorite all time. And the next one, some of us will know exactly what I'm talking about. The four stages of man. The first stage, oh, kids, you're dismissed to children's church. I'm sorry. Oh, we need some people today. We need people, all that can, all that will. We need some people to walk the streets, help us out in all different kinds of ways. So we're still needing some recruits for the parade. So if you've been wanting to, you've been dying to work in the parade and you say, well, I don't know what I can do. Come see us at the end of the service. We got plenty. Amen. And, God is so awesome and so good. The heater back here went out. Remember they said there was two heaters going out? The heater back here went out. The heater back there, we're having to replace it, and it was going to be $6,000. Well, God sent two angels. Dressed in white. Some of them wore white. Not me. That heater's fixed. That heater will be fixed in about a week or two, and we don't need a new one. Tell me God ain't good. And the angels wanted to remain anonymous. I wanted to be unanimous, but they wanted to be anonymous. And so just thank God. Thank God for something special. It's really, really awesome. Amen. Also, here it is, for four stages of man. The first stage of man, he believes in Santa Claus. Second stage of man, he doesn't believe in Santa Claus. Third stage of man, he is Santa Claus. And the fourth stage of man, he looks like Santa Claus. All right, y'all. Okay, one more, and then I got to go back into this. I just wanted to get you pumped up here a little bit. I was watching the Animal Planet or National Geographic Planet, and I found out some very disturbing news about reindeer. This is true. Did you know, according to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, while both male and female reindeer grow antlers in the summer each year, the male reindeer drop their antlers at the beginning of winter, usually late November to mid-December. Female reindeer retain their antlers to after they give birth in the spring. Therefore, according to the historical rendition depicting Santa's reindeer, every single one of them from Rudolph the Blitzen had to be a girl. We should have known only women while pregnant will be able to drag a fat man in a red velvet suit all around the world in one night and not get lost. All right. You know, this week has been a wild kind of week for me. This is the anniversary of several deaths in my family. Of course, my mother died on December 16th, was buried on the 20th. And my wife Beverly died on December 20th and was buried on the 23rd. And I really hadn't given that the thought that for this sermon, but it's amazing how the sermon came in perfect with this. Just the Lord kept putting this in my heart. Preach this on this day. I had no idea the dates. I just writing down, okay, here you, Lord. I got it. I hear you, Lord. I'm writing it down. Then on the day that my mama died, my aunt died this week. And then they asked me, would I come and minister to the family? And I was thinking as I was ministering to the family, this hurts. It hurts, period, because I'm thinking about mom. And this was one of my mom's favorite aunts, and her daughter and my mama were best friends. And so I was ministering to Mama's, one of Mama's best friends, and I said, Lord, I don't understand except for this is a healing hurt, a healing pain. And so yesterday while we were doing the funeral, we were at the graveside, we played a song by Guy Penrod, If You Only Knew What I Knew About Heaven. And as we started playing, all I could think about was Mama. And so I was trying to wipe the tears out of my eyes before I preached the funeral, thinking about Mama. But again, I told Linda, Linda said, you're going to be okay? I said, yes. I said, God knows what he's doing. And his timing is always impeccable. Always. And so I thank God that he knows how to handle us, how to handle our situations in any way whatsoever. Now, today's going to be kind of a, you're going to say, how in the world is this a Christmas message? Let me get going with it first. And as I get going with it, no, let me go ahead first before I do the Christmas message. I want to do this. Since we've been having a problem with our Advent candle, y'all get ready. We're going to have some fun right now. How many want to have some fun? Okay, here we go. Get ready. Hold it. This thing's still not working with the microphone. Somebody told the microphone up here. Somehow or another, our sound system got messed up with my computer. Now, where's the microphone? All right. We're really baptized a heathen. Okay. Come on, buddy. Number 12.
His credits.
Number 12.
Too long to live. He has done the impossible time after time. He has, out of amazing, in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, by way of heaven. His mother. In the Catholic Church today.
Thank you.
His daddy is the author of a book that has been on the bestseller list since the beginning of time. He holds the record for the world's greatest fish fry. He fed 5,000 hungry souls with two fish, five loaves of bread. He can walk on water, turn water into wine. No special effects, no camera tricks. He has a headshot on every church fan across the country. Even before the kings of comedy, he was hailed the king of all kings, ruler of the universe, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star. Some say he's the rose of Sharon, and some say he's the prince of peace. Get up on your feet. Put your hands together and show your love for the second coming of the one and only.
Yes! 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 God is awesome! Now, what do I do with this thing here? Here we go. We're going to get moving now. Here we go. Get the good way. All right, let's put her back. Where was? All right, let's see here. Go forward. There we are. Get your Bible out. Stand for the reading of the Word. Turn to 2 Samuel. I'm not going to keep you up all through all of this reading, but I'm going to, I'll read till y'all get tired of standing. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Y'all stand. Verse 18, this, you will say, how in the world is this a Christmas? How is this a Christmas sermon? That's what I said when the Lord spoke to me, but I know now what he was talking about. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 18. How many got your Bible? Say amen. You don't say oh me? All right. Remember, we need some more help in the parade. If you can be here for helping in the parade, walking the streets or helping line up people, please come see me, Jeannie. There's going to be some other people, but you just go find one of us two, and and we'll put you in the right direction. But we got to do this. And of course, Linda was going to help. What she normally does is line up down there, but she's on the way to Farmville, Virginia, to be with that family. So, and actually, it was her very best, what you call best buddy, best friend. And so she's with her right now, or without her, but with going to try to be with their family, but still, she's probably still driving. All right, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 18. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken to our voice, how he then vexed himself if we tell him that the child is dead. But when David saw that the servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore, David said unto his servants, is the child dead? They said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. And then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while he was alive, but when the child was dead, thou rise and did eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? Y'all say that. Can I bring him back? That's going to be a heavy one for right now. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved Solomon. Father, I love you and I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for your power and anointing, God. I know, Lord, that we're not in this thing by ourselves. Lord, that you're with us every step of the way, Lord. You know today, God, things are on our hearts and things are on our minds. Lord, you are more than able, Father, to minister in any way we need today. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, Lord. There's many here right now that are hurting because of past hurt. They are hurting because of past loss. They are hurting because loved ones that they would love to have with them to share Christmas with, they're not here. And Father, I know, Lord, there are those right now that are suffering from the present because things aren't working out exactly like they expected. And it seems like instead of a gain, they're going to have a loss. Father, help us, Lord, to look to you today, God, and find grace and comfort and hope. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. On the way down, shake somebody's hand, give them a high five, low five, no five. Tell them God is good all the time. All right. Dealing with loss. Christmas out of the box. Christmas out of the box. Dealing with loss at Christmas. You know, somebody said, what you having for the holidays? I'm having grief. Guess what? You don't have to have grief in the holidays. You don't have to be sitting back in all this pain. You can actually give it to God and you can enjoy yourself again. Amen? I got somebody to say, you can enjoy yourself again. Okay, now again, we just read that scripture. A lot of people are dealing with loss at Christmas. This is supposed to be a joyful time of year. This is a time where we think about, you know, all the things we used to do. I bought Linda some candy from the drugstore the other day, and it had a little map in it. And she come along, and I'm looking at this map and looking at the pieces of, and I'm making sure that she hadn't changed them in their position. Because if I get a chocolate-covered cherry, I'm going to discard it very fast. Okay? And I'm looking back and forth. I'm seeing this stuff, and I kept going back and forth. I looked over at her, and she said, what are you doing, son? I said, I'm making sure I get the right piece of chocolate. And she said, well, just grab in there. I said, that's the whole problem. When I was ever coming up, my mama and my two retarded brothers. My mama had three normal children, one exceptional child. I won't tell you which one. But the three kids would get in there, and they would bite the bottom out of them. If they didn't like them, they'd stick them back in. Or they would take it and put it in their mouth and go, it don't taste right, and they'd put it back in. And so you never knew when Forrest comes to life, it's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. In my house, you never knew. You know, you can get chocolate, you may get germs and all kinds of mess. So I was glad for that thing. But see, I think about those times and think about how awesome it was. How many remember when raisins came actually came on the vine and you had to pick them off? I remember picking raisins off that little bitty. Oh, come on now. I'm not the oldest one in here. Not a vine, but like a little thing, like a grapevine, or a grape thing, or a cluster. The cluster. Okay, you know how grapes are on a cluster? When they made the raisins, they left them on the cluster. We were poor coming up, okay? I'm not even sure they were raisins. All right. Okay. Okay, I remember all this stuff. And you know, and getting under the Christmas tree, and my birthday's December 11th, and so Mama would always say, we're going to put the Christmas tree the closest weekend to Cricket. That's who I was, Cricket. Cricket's birthday, and so then we get up under the tree, and we and color, and I thought about all those things, and going to Grandma's house on Christmas Eve, all this stuff, and then one by one, these things started getting yanked away. Some of y'all in here right now, you may not tell a soul, but inside you're hurting really bad because some very dear things have been not taken away, yanked away. You're suffering with it. Maybe you're in your own little silent world right now. You look at everybody and you're smiling, but if you could see behind that smile, there's a big frown because of the stuff that used to mean so much has been yanked away. And it might not be Christmas memories. It could be things you're going through right now in your own life, with your own family, on your job. But this is going to be a joyful time of year, not a hurtful time of year, but circumstances and losses, and they seem to overshadow the joy. Matter of fact, the joy in a lot of our hearts have been crowded out because of things. You know, actually, on the 16th, I actually had kind of put it out of my mind that was the day my mama died. And so I get a call that morning. As soon as I get up, I've already got a message sent to me in the middle of the night, and now I get a call from my aunt, actually they're my cousins, but they're so much older than me they seem like aunts. But they call me and they're telling me that her mother had died, and it hit me. This is the same day my mom died. And then it was like I was thrust into a type of a grieving cycle. All over again. And so I'm helping them, and at the same time trying to tell myself, now son, you've been trained in this. You go back to what you know and trust God. But see, we get crowded out. Our joy gets crowded out, and we get kept out of the box, so to speak. Now, we just read about David. You say, well, how did David, what's this got to do with Christmas? It's got a lot to do with Christmas. Because David... Now, of course, he had sinned with Bathsheba, and that's why the baby was sick, and we're not going to go through all that. That's not part of this. I'm not talking about the reason for the baby being sick. I'm going to talk about what happened when the baby died. Here's David. He's fasting, and he's praying, and he's trusting God, and he's believing God is going to raise up this child. But instead of raising up this child dies, and now he gets up on his feet. And see, what he did was, how did David deal with grief? How did David deal with loss, and how does that connect to us at Christmas time? You see that there's three things that David did. Three. Y'all look at somebody and say three things. All right. Now I want you to think about this. I want you to listen hard. I want you to listen good. If you will listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you, for whatever reason that you're having a hard time, do not raise your hand and say, I'm having a hard time because of loss. I'm having a hard time because of memories. I'm having a hard time because things have been yanked out from me. Or I'm having a hard time because of the situation I'm in right now. It's not what I call the best. Don't raise your hand. You ain't got to look at anybody. You ain't got to announce it. But I can tell you, if you will listen closely for the next few minutes, I won't keep you long. Three things David did. They called him and said, how can he just snap back like that? Well, he didn't snap back. It's just he got up and moved forward. Some of y'all in here remember, this sermon might not make you snap back and jump and go, well, that was good. Now it don't hurt anymore. No. No. This is going to help you move forward in your pain in a different way. Matter of fact, I want to get you to see. How many got the Mighty Army this morning? Mighty Army says, it's not your problem that's your problem. It's how you see your problem. That's the problem. All right? It's not your problem that's your problem. It's how you handle it, how you see it, how you focus, how you have a perspective on this problem. So here it is. The very first thing that David did. Hold it. Here it is. How did he deal with it? Watch this. The very first thing, he accepted what he could not change. Whew! You know, when I'm dealing with people in the grieving cycle, they're going through grief, whether they've lost a loved one, they've lost a job, they've lost their health, they've lost something in their life, or there's even an anticipated loss. They haven't really lost it, it's just anticipated. One of the biggest problems I see people have is they have a hard time accepting what they cannot change. My wife this morning, well, I mean, I was sitting here, my wife, we were working, I was working on this message, and we just got through doing some other things, and Christmas, the PowerPoints or whatever, and as we're doing, all of a sudden, my wife just burst into tears. She's crying, and I said, "What is wrong?" And she said, "Aura died." And it was like, wow, didn't see that coming. She's your age. She had been sick, but not to the point of death. Wow. And then all of a sudden you hear this stuff like, well, if I'd have just talked to her more, or if I'd have just been there more, this, and I said, no, 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 don't go there. Only God knew that she was going to die. And God already put the people where they needed to be to prepare her for what was coming. She was a Christian, she was a child of God, and she trusted God. And so now God, we trusted God, and she trusted God in her life, and now we can trust her with God in her death. First thing we always say when somebody dies or something happens, I wish I'd have been more whatever. I wish I'd have done this, that. I wish I could have. And if I had, maybe they would not have died. You know what? Coulda, woulda, did-a doesn't work all the time. All right? There's a time where you just have to accept, I can't change what happened. I don't like it. I wish it had never happened. If I could have changed it then, I would have changed it. If I saw it coming, I probably would have gotten in front of it. I'd have stepped in front of that bullet. I'd have stepped in front of that car. I'd have pushed that person out of the way. I would not have allowed them to get so far away from me that now they thought they had to be with somebody else. I would never let this stuff happen. But we are not God. Quit living in woulda, coulda, shoulda. It will drive you up the wall. You will not have a very fruitful existence. It says here, and it said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who could tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me, for the child may live. But now that he's dead, why should I fast? Come on now. Some of y'all in here, whatever it is that law says, you're thinking, if I do penance enough, God may bring that person back. Or if I do penance enough, maybe things will change. There's some things in your life, it's happened, and let God deal with it. Okay? So look, so watch, here it is. Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Watch this. Many people are stuck in the pain of the pull of the past. The reason I say pull of the past is you're trying to go forward, but because of that past experience and because you cannot let go of it, it keeps you pulling you down. You heard of I talk about this all the time, the crab in the barrel syndrome. You can take crabs and you can put them in a barrel. You do not have to put a top on them. Because once one crab tries to climb out of the barrel, another crab will go, oh, no, you ain't. And he'll grab it and pull it right back down. Sometimes I'm the crab trying to climb out the barrel. Sometimes I'm the crab in the barrel saying, oh, no, you don't. Well, the past does that. You're trying to climb out of the barrel. You're trying to get back on your feet. You're trying to get back what you, the fortitude that you once had, the joy that you once had, the outlook that you once had. But every time you begin to think about back here that you cannot let go of, and because you cannot let go of it, it pulls you. It pulls you. It's the pull of the past, and some of you just are paralyzed by the present because now it isn't coulda, woulda, shoulda, it's what if, what if, What if? Well, I'd be happy, but what if? What if this goes south? What if I can't pull out of this? What if this depression is going to take me down? What if that person dies? What if? What if? What if? What if? If ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd have Christmas year-round. So now, watch this. Watch. Listen to me carefully. When you refuse to accept what you cannot change, it robs you of your peace and it robs you of your power. See that picture? That's a man with his heart, or a woman, or whoever, a person with their heart behind them, all nailed up and pulling them. We may not can see it, but God can see it. Some of y'all in here come into church dragging it behind you. And every time you begin to get a little bit of joy back, it tugs. And you go, wait a minute, I can't be happy. Remember that? I can't get my joy back. Remember what happened? Let me tell you something. There's an amazing freedom that takes place. Amazing freedom that takes place once you realize and accept things that you cannot change. There's certain things in my life I wish I could, but I can't. And so I can beat myself up over it. I can wonder why. I can ask myself why. Or I can say, okay, God, ultimately, this was your plan. I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to learn the lessons, and I'm going to step forward. So, accept what you cannot change. How many know the Serenity Prayer? Lord, help me accept the things that I cannot change. Change the things I can, accept the things I cannot, and wisdom to know the difference between the two of them. All right? That's Possum Track version, but it's good. Number one, he accepted what he could not change. Number two, I'm going to tell you how to accept what you cannot change. Watch this carefully. Listen to what I'm saying. How am I going to let go and forget about that behind me? Paul said I had to forget what was behind me, and I had to press forward. That word press means with all his might. It's the picture of an athlete running over the finish line. And do you ever see somebody run over the finish line like this? Here's the tape. They're doing like this. What are they doing? They're leaning forward. Every race I ever won, I won by a nose. Amen. My mama told me my nose, she made me feel so good one day. My mama told me my nose was so big because I'd been keeping it out of other people's business. I said, thank you, mama. Then she said, none of that, but you got Jew Indian, you got Cherokee Indian. You're from the Hawkbill tribe. As a matter of fact, my granddaddy was in the Wonder Bee tribe. He was the chief of the... Daniel, you didn't know this. I looked it up, found out. We're from the Wonder Bee tribe. Our great-great-granddaddy carried a whole bunch of Indians up on top of a mountain one time and said, I wonder where we'd be. We're the Wonder Bee tribe. All right. He let go behind him and he focused on what was left, not what was lost. Then David comforted Bathsheba's wife and went into her and lay with her. She bore a son. And he called his name Solomon. It's not by accident that his name is called Solomon. It's not by accident all this happened. You see, it's okay to dwell or look back. Excuse me. It's okay to look back on yesterday, but we can't dwell on it and in it. God, I thank you for the lessons that I learned yesterday. Yesterday. Thank you for what I learned. But Lord, let it propel me. Don't let it pull me back. So yes, watch this now. This is some awesome stuff coming up here. Watch. God's so awesome. Ready? If you're misdirected, you're looking back. How many here is a fast backer? He can back down. Now, Daniel showed me how fast he could back. But Daniel was taught by the deputy's office first how to back, and then he was taught in Afghanistan how to back. He said, Daddy, sometimes we had, that's the only way we could go was backwards. He said, I had to learn how to do it fast. And I said, you did, son. I thought I was a good backer. He backs makes me feel like I don't know what I'm doing. Amen. But you can't live like that. You see, when you focus on what was lost, it's a misdirected focus. What it brings is pain. It brings the question, why? All the time, why? Why did me and my wife had this problem? Why did I didn't finish college? Why that person died? Why did I have all this loss in my life? Why didn't I take that job? Why did I lose my job? Why did that child get sick? Why did this person die? And what it does is it constantly just pulls you and pulls you and pulls you. There it is. There's that little man again. But watch this. When you redirect your focus, it brings healing. And now the answer is not, now it's not questions, it's answers. Why not go forward? Why not trust God with that and trust God with your future? Why not trust God to give you what you need? And in all of this now, you're not being pulled, now you're being pushed. And when you're being pushed, it's a whole different ball game. Now you've got opportunities coming your way. It's not missed. It's stuff that's coming your way that you can step into, but you got to trust God when you step into all this, because if you don't, you will never heal. So again, it's okay. Look at that little bird. Wasn't it cool? It's okay to look on yesterday, but don't dwell on it. Don't dwell in it. You see, the baby was gone. He said, he can't come back to me. He's gone. Some of y'all right now, if you just understand, there are some things behind you that are gone. Sometimes when God closes the door, you think he's being mean to you. Sometimes when God closes the door, he's protecting you. I thank God for some of the things that he didn't do that I prayed for. I've been out hearing people praying, and somebody would be praying, God, oh God, please baptize me in fire and brimstone. No, Lord, don't do that. Can you imagine God baptizing him in fire and brimstone? Get out of the way. Has anybody got any marshmallows? I've heard him go, oh God, follow me. No, God, don't follow me. God, if you just do this and I'll do that, number one, you ain't going to do that. Number two, if he did that, you'd be in more trouble than you ever imagined. It's okay to look on the past, but don't dwell on it. The baby's gone, but I can go to him. But Bathsheba was still there. We all need to take a reality check today in our minds, get our focus back, and understand, God, help me take a reality check. The reality check is, just like when I was standing in that graveyard yesterday, the reality check is my mama was dead. She'd been dead since 97. And the reality check was now my aunt died on the same day. She just was buried a day earlier. And I was looking over at my cousins who were my mama's best friends. And I was thinking about it. My heart was hurting for mama. Although we were putting their mama in the ground. And so the reality check was, she's not coming back to me, but I can go to her. And thank God for that. You know, a lot of times people talk about their reality check. You know, some people say their reality check bounced. Reality check. God help us. God keep us in the right way. So now it says, he focused on what was left, not what was lost. And then finally, I'm getting ready to the third part. I told you I wouldn't keep you long. He turned to God. Y'all listen carefully. This is good. This is, you know, like when you're watching Mission Impossible, and you're thinking, man, I was watching Mission Impossible. I said, it can't get Rogue Nation. It can't get any better than this. Why don't you know, they start off with Tom Cruise hanging out of an airplane. I was thinking, wow, how are you going to outdo this one for the rest of the movie? And they did. And even at the very end, I went, whoa, this is awesome. All right, you've watched the little man hang out the airplane. Now you're going to see something awesome. He turned to God. Then David arose from the earth, washed and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came to the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Now watch this quickly. This is turning to God. This is what brings comfort to you. Remember first, you've got to remember, don't focus on what you lost, focus on what you got left. Number two, turn to God. Here's what he did. First, it said he got up. He got up from where he was. You know, Micah 7:8 says, "Rejoice not over me, my enemy, when I fall, for I will arise. Though I sit in darkness, God will be my light." Meaning there's going to be times where I fall, not only because of sin, there's times I fall because of depression. There's times I fall because I hurt. There's times that I'm not moving forward because I am aching so bad on the inside, I can't see what I need to be seeing. He said, but when I get in that position, when I cannot see because of the darkness, the pain, the despair, the hurt, God will be my light. And so he got up. Some of us in here today, you need to understand, God wants to help you with this. God wants to heal you. But in order to heal you, you have to do something too. And part of it is get up. Thank you, God. I know I'm going to be all right. I know this is going to be okay. God, thank you. And step up. And then it said he cleansed himself physically and spiritually, and he put on clean clothes. He changed his attitude from, it'll never work or never get any better, to, man, check this out. Isaiah 61:3 says, to all those who mourn, he gives beauty for ashes, oil, joy for mourning, and praises for the spirit of heaviness. God wants to do something in us, but we've got to get up and take it. God wants us not to let this holiday season be one of sadness, but be one of joy. Be one where we can actually enjoy what's going on around us. And then finally, it said he went to church. He went to hear from God again. He went to see what was going on, and he worshiped God in whom he had learned to trust. The Bible says in Psalm 30 and 5, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. God, I don't understand it. God, I don't understand why this happened. I don't understand what's going on. You know, last night when we got that phone call, and Aura, who my wife played a trick on me on my birthday. We're sitting in IHOP. She's talking to get you some breakfast at IHOP. We're in there getting it. She puts, I saw her put some lipstick on, but I didn't really pay attention to it. And then she kissed me. And everybody here's got Facebook saw my picture with the red lipstick. She said, look at me and smile. And so I went, and she went, she said, that's so cool. Do it again. I went, then she had me going. I had no idea she was putting that on, that one of them on Facebook and says, how's he looking at red lipstick? Went to a store after that, and Linda says, honey, before you go in there, matter of fact, it was at Starbucks, and there was a bunch of Italians sitting outside, some rough guys. I got out of the car and said, honey, before you get out and talk to them guys, I think you need to do something. I said, watch. She said, wipe your lips off. And then she showed me the pictures. And then she told me, I don't know if she put it on Facebook or not, but I think she did put it on Facebook. My friend Aura called it her hooker red lipstick. That's the lady that died, Aura. Had no idea last night this was going to happen. If we'd have known this, we could have done something different to go see her last week or something, but nobody knows. There's things that happen. You don't know. You don't know when this stuff's coming. But what you can do is you can trust God because God sees it. God knows. God can help. And watch this. Here's my favorite part of this scripture. After David got back up, changed his clothes, washed himself, changed his clothes, went back to the house of God, it says he went to Bathsheba and he comforted her. He received comfort. And after he received comfort, I know Bathsheba was hurting too. He goes to Bathsheba. He comforts her and he lays with her. Now watch this. That word comfort means to console, to breathe strongly, to actually give hope again. So watch this. This is so awesome. That word comforted, again, it means to bring hope, to bring strength. David was a type of Christ. Yesterday at that funeral for my aunt, the Lord gave me this scripture. 2 Corinthians 1:4, he comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others when they are troubled. we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. When I walked over to the, you know how the preacher walks up and shakes hands at the end? I went up there and the two sisters were sitting side by side. She had two girls. And these girls, all of them had known pain anyway because my aunt or my uncle got paralyzed. He went to Korea. And actually, you could say because of the grace of God, he came back from Korea because there was some rough stuff over there. Then he has these two beautiful girls. And then he's putting up, he was a lineman. He's putting up a line somewhere and he gets electrocuted. And it breaks his belt and he falls from the top of that light line on his back and breaks his back. So from the age of 27 to when he died at 63, he was paralyzed from the waist down. After he dies, the two cousins, Carol and Betsy has a son that goes missing. They find him 3 days later in the bottom of a lake. His car had run off the bridge and was in the lake, and they found him. His dad crushed. His dad crushed, looking for hope, comfort and hope, goes to an Emmaus walk. The next month, he dies. His wife says, of a heart attack, his wife says God was preparing him for what was coming. Then I think within a month or two, Carol's husband dies. So mother and two children, all are with us. And now they're sitting up there watching us put their mother to rest. And so, as I walked by this, I never done before. I stopped and I grabbed my cousin's hands and I put them together and I held them together like that. And I said, God's got a special blessing in this for all of us if we'll just trust him. And I prayed for him. Then I walked back to the next row. My Aunt Juanita, who was the only two living siblings from my grandmama's bunch, she was 88. She died a few months ago. I did her funeral. Her daughter found out after her mama died, she had cancer. And she had just had a cancer surgery. She's sitting in the back wrapped up in a blanket. And she said, I can't get my hands out. I said, you don't have to. And I grabbed her. And I said, God's got something special for you too. God never wastes your pain. And I walked away and Linda said, how you feel? And I said, you know what? I didn't tell her the scripture. It was in my mind, the scripture. I remember the comfort God gave me when my mama died. And now I'm able to give comfort to somebody else. God never wastes your pain. Ever. So, trying to get out of here. This is so cool. Y'all get ready to say this is going to be cool. Somebody say this is cool. He lay down and comforted her, and she conceived, and Solomon was born. How many know what Solomon means? It doesn't mean the richest man in the world. Doesn't mean the wisest man in the world. Doesn't mean the stupidest man in the world. You know what Solomon means? Solomon means Shelah Mo. It comes from the word shalom. Solomon means peace, safety, health, prosperity. God took an awful thing in David's life, and David paid a terrible price for it. But here's the grace of God. With the same person, with the same thing, with the same scenario, now gives him the greatest thing in the world, Solomon, the greatest king of Israel. You know what he's saying? And you need to hear it today. It'll rain again. God has not forgotten you. And he's at work right now, guaranteed. The Lord showed me something about this year. I wrote it down. And that is, this year is going to be a year of reconciliation. Some of us is reconciliation to the Lord. Some of us reconciliation to each other. Some of it is just reconciliation with yourself. Wow. if you'll let it. I know it hurts. I'm not telling you something I don't know. I know it hurts. On the 20th of December, 11/14, my wife died, and my boys were standing right there with me in intensive care. But God is always faithful. Always faithful. He was Simplify before the Marines were Simplify. God is always faithful. So watch this. Let this year be a year of hope. God's taking care of business for me. A year of healing. And let it be a year of happiness. This scripture here, and I'm closing. Y'all guys, come and get ready to play something. Go ahead and start playing. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of When God speaks of peace, it's not like what we think of peace. When God speaks of peace, He speaks of taking things that are torn apart, your heart, your spirit, your hope, your trust, and mending it back together again. And the greatest peace, it was when Jesus reached up from the cross with one hand and grabbed God and reached down to man and brought peace for man. If He can do that, He can take care of your hurt now. Let this Christmas be a healing Christmas. Let this year, your greatest gift that you're going to unwrap is going to be a mended heart, a mended spirit, a mended soul, mended hope. I can't do a thing about yesterday, but if I focus on what I've got left, not what I've lost, and I give it to God and trust Him, and I get up, and I changed my attitude. Wow. What a Christmas and New Year we can have. Everybody please stand. I know this might not have been the greatest Christmas idea. We didn't talk about the wise men except for Frank sending that thing. We didn't talk about the shepherds. But we did talk about the manger and the hope that a child can bring. The mending. There's a lot of folks in here, you ain't got to raise your hand, you ain't got to say a word. Matter of fact, you may have never told a soul. But there's some people in here right now, you're hurting so bad on the inside, and you've got a certain compartment that's just off limits. That compartment's off limits, it's full of pain, it's a little box. And you wish you didn't have to visit that box, but every time, it's like going in a bank and going to your safety deposit box. You go in there in that one box. And when you get to it, you're trapped. You can't move up, you can't move out, you can't move forward, you can't move back. You're trapped in that box. And God's saying, if you'll take that box and give it to me, peace. Right now, every head bowed, every eye closed, we're getting ready to get out of here, but I can't leave without this question. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you need Jesus in your heart, you've never asked Him into your heart in life, you don't know what it's like to have the comfort of knowing that God has you in His hand. If I'm speaking to you right now, every head's bowed, every eye is closed, would you raise that hand and say, pray for me? I don't know Jesus. I need to know Him. Maybe you're here today and you knew Him, but you let things push you and the past pull you and pull you and pull you. You're trying to get to God, but everything's pulling you in the wrong direction. You need God one more time to shed His love abroad on you and feel that peace and that comfort knowing that you're a child of God. Raise that hand. Lord, bless them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, let them feel that peace. Let them feel that power. Let them feel that anointing. Let them know that there's absolutely nothing that's happened to them that you cannot heal, that you cannot redeem, that they're not discarded, they're not thrown away, but you've got something special for them, and I thank you for it. Maybe you're here this morning, nobody looking around. You don't even have to raise your hand if you don't want to. But if you say, Pastor, I got one of those little boxes in my heart. That little box is killing me. There's a loss there. There's something all I can think about is what I could have done or what I should have done or how I should have handled it and I didn't. And every time I go revisit that box, it tears me apart. And especially this time of year, that box is killing me. God, I need to be able to give it to you. If I'm speaking to you right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you just raise a hand and say, pray for me to give God that box? Yes, hands going up all over the place. God, help me give you that box. God, help me, Lord, to put it behind me once and for all. Put it behind me. And God, help me, Lord, to look at what I've got left and hold on to that and trust you that you can take that what I've got left and do something great. You can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000 men plus women and children. If you can do that, you can take what I've got left and I can build my life on it. I can have peace and hope and harmony once again. Thank you, Lord. Give Lord a hand clap. Yeah! God, help me to rise up and to change my garments and to change my attitude and to cleanse myself and say, God, I'm yours. And let me take that comfort that you're giving me and help me to help somebody else. And Lord, I know that I may have lost something, but there's a Solomon on the way. There's peace on the way. There's hope on the way. There's something coming that you're going to help me with, God. Help me, God. Oh, hallelujah! I want y'all to say this, Lord, I thank you. My Solomon is on the way. My Solomon is on the way. Merry Christmas. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Now, you got to pray for anything you want to pray. Come on up here. I know if some of you want to get busy about it, you go get your float. You can go get your float. But if you need to pray, come on up here first. You'll float a whole lot better with that weight off of you. Come on up here. You'll float a whole lot better with that weight off. Come on up here and talk to God. Come talk to Him. Thank Him for your Solomon. Thank Him for peace. Thank Him that you can put behind you the past. Thank Him that there's some things you cannot change and quit trying to change it. Just go forward and look at what you've got left. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you for Solomon. Thank you for peace. Thank you for hope. Thank you for comfort. Thank you, God. You're awesome. Thank you for what I've got left, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help me not to focus on what I lost, but focus on what I got left. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. 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 Thank you, Lord. Help me, God, not to focus on the past, not to focus on what I lost. Thank you, God, for what I got left. And thank you, God, that comfort can come. Thank you, Father. Glory. 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 God is awesome. God is awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Glory. Solomon is on the way. This is the year of reconciliation. Solomon is on the way. Somebody say it with me. This is the year of reconciliation. Solomon is on the way. I see it right now. A lot of y'all are going to be giving birth to a whole lot of Solomons. Praise the Lamb of God. Life's going to be different for you this year. You can walk away. You can walk away without all that pain and all that weight on you. Praise the Lamb of God. Give that box to God. Give it to Him. Give it to Him. Mm-hmm. Glory. 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 Y'all seen that? All is bright. Round yonder, mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild. That's right, y'all sing it, because I can't get that high. He's sleeping. Yeah. DC and Daniel were arguing one day. We were singing that in church. And Daniel was saying, sleep in heavenly beans. And DC said, it ain't beans, Daniel, it's peas. God wants to do a work in us. Just let Him. I dare you. Just let Him. Just let Him. Just let Him. I can't tell you how it's all going to happen, how it's all going to turn out. I can just tell you that if we trust God, it always works out. Amen. And God will always do better than you expected and do more than you expected. God's awesome. 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 Now, all that will that can help us, that you don't have anything to do in the parade today, and you were just chomping at the bit, and you want to help in the parade, when we end today, come on back. And if you don't have time to stay until, because you come back at 2 in the lineup, just go on back there in the back and tell Jeannie, and she'll write your name down, so we'll have you something to do when you come back. Nobody that wants, everybody that wants to work in the parade has something. All right? Everybody. So that's going to be okay. Alright? And remember, trust God. He's got a Solomon for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity we've had to be here today in Your house. And Lord, as we go forward from this day on, let us look for that Solomon and find him and have You with us in each and everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.